Father in heaven, we thank you again, Lord, for this precious time. And Lord, it seems like sometimes Sunday night service is so sweeter than other services. And Wednesday night, we know it's a Bible study mainly, and Sunday morning is more evangelistic. But Father, we just pray that every service would be the right mode for your glory. And as this book is open, every heart would be prayed to the point to bless it. Lord, I am no good without the knowing of the Spirit of God. I have no ability without what you give me. And I pray tonight this be a sweet time as we remember and do that which you command us to do in taking communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm not going to preach. I know you don't believe that, but believe it tonight. You will believe it. I want to just come. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We know what communion is mostly, and the communion itself. Just make a couple comments. We look in chapter 11, verse 23, and Paul goes back and picks up what the Holy Spirit showed him that Jesus did 26 years before this, and we have the documentation of this in Matthew 26, 27, down a few verses. And he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now, somewhere along in Asia Minor, evidently the Lord told him about this and explained it to him, and he refers back to the time that night when Jesus was with the apostles in the upper room. And when they had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, at the same manner also, he took the cup, which when he had supped, said, "The cup isn't the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." That's a tremendous statement, folks. But you know the amazing thing about it? We don't have to be brought under the guilty of that verse because God has made a way. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. To say that from the heart and mean it, it sets forth that there's not a child of God that cannot take communion worthy. And so here, he goes on, he said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and let him so eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Then he said, "If we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord." I love that. He's talking to a child of God. He didn't say that we'd get the wrath of God. He said, "I chase you." When a parent chases a child, they don't put wrath. They just make you think it's going to be a little bit tough to get one's attention. And he says, "Chasten to the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world." Isn't that wonderful? He says, "I do this. If chasten has to come, I do this." Why? He says that we would not be condemned with the world. Now, communion is a time to examine ourselves and not one another. What do you hear what I said? It's so easy during life sometimes we'll examine others rather than ourselves. But communion is a time in the church that we need to be honest before God and examine ourselves and not one another. Here we must be honest with our Lord as we confess our sins. And by the way, no one can take communion correctly unless they do confess their sins. We do it every fifth Sunday. That's about four times a year. I guarantee you there's things that we could see it like God sees it. From the last communion we had now, there's all of us here have something that's not just what it should be. And this is the way that God has given his children a chance to clean up in something they don't even know about, or if they do know about, have somehow delayed it. And it's a time to stop that we might find ourselves doing what God said do, even as he talked to the disciples in Matthew. And here we discern his body as the bread that was broken for us. We discern the cup as his blood that was shed for us. Precious blood, Peter says. And the Lord's Supper must become personal, but not selfishly. It has to be personal. It's between me and God. You know, good number here tonight. But I've got to realize myself, it's between me and God. By the way, it's between you and God. It cannot be selfishly either. It can't be done in some selfish manner. It has to be individual, but not selfish, but yet personal. And yet it also is a family feast, because he tells us to come together like this. He didn't tell us to go home and do it ourselves. He said, come together. When you come together, it's personal between me and you. Isn't it amazing? God, I'm not present. God lives in each one of us. And every one of us here tonight, it can be personal between he and you, he, God, and me. Though at the same time, we're family. We're coming together around an invisible table, talking about a cup and talking about bread that's visible to us, but represents the body of Christ is broken and the precious blood. The cup represents the blood of Jesus Christ that we might know and show reference to this world. We believe not that the cup becomes blood. We don't believe in transubstantiation, but that the fact it represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and therefore before we even take of the cup that has no power in itself, but what it represents, we do what God said do, so we'd be pure if we even drinking maybe an impure grape juice of some kind. I don't know how pure it could be, but I guarantee you, if you pull it off the vine, you can probably make it purer than it is. But anyhow, I'm saying it's the only impurity in grape juice at all, and maybe there's not, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'm saying if there's any impurity in the grape juice at all, it don't bother what we do because it represents Christ's blood. There's no way in the world the grape juice should ever be as powerful as Christ's blood. So we can't get hung up on technicalities and talk about how power is in something. It's man always wanting to make things change that somehow or another he gives power to something rather than God. There's no power in the cup. There's no power in the bread other than the fact it represents the body of Christ. And as we chew it, it's like his body being broken. And as we take the cup, it's like us taking and believing. It's like us have accepted Christ as Savior and believe that that blood that Jesus talked about, that Peter talked about, this precious, can take away our sin when he sees our heart before him. So the Lord's Supper must be personal, but not selfishly as an individual. But I must take it individual because I cannot take it for you. And I don't know how these people get this thing and saying, you know, if someone dies and then take communion for them. Yeah, I don't see how that could be anything. And when God talks about some things in the scriptures, they've taken something that's not completely clear and trying to make it say that so-and-so is not here or you can take communion for them. Well, how in the world could anybody take communion for somebody else? It don't make sense at all. But we have to do it ourselves. It'd be like someone said, well, hey, if I could take communion to somebody else and they didn't want to take it, I'd take it for them, but they'd be all right. But nobody would ever take it much then, would they? Aren't you glad to see it's a personal thing, folks? Aren't you glad to see it's not a demand to do every day, or there's nothing wrong in doing it every day? He didn't say how many times to do it. He says, off as you do it. And God gets an instruction. So communion should be a means of promoting the unity of the church. It's an individual that's right before God. And when that happens, we as individuals, as a family, come together. And so what I do individually and what we do individually, it promotes us as a family. And we meet here together to do just that and thank God for that. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you again tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for these things you put in our path that we could check our lives in this life according to the scriptures. And dear Father, know that 1 John 1:9, to the child of God, if we confess our sins, he that is God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What an amazing statement that God has made for his children, to know that we can be clean. And I fully believe, Lord, if any one of us as an individual come before God who's been born into the family of God, a person who's not saved, has no seat at this table. When we get on the other side, when we sit with the Lord, no doubt he'll be heading this up. Instead of I as a local pastor and other local pastors down through the years, he'll be setting it up. And Father, there won't be one person there taking communion who's not been saved. Everyone will be saved. Those who are not saved will never sit at the table there if we see with God. And with Jesus Christ, we look in Matthew or in Revelation chapter 19. So we're talking about tonight those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, which in turn helps them to know God as our Heavenly Father and also realize the Holy Spirit moved in our heart to help us with these things, to bear witness to our heart of these things, that we might cry, Abba, Father, and know what God has told us to do is to benefit us as we do it. Sometimes we may not understand it. Sometimes it may not make sense. But if God said do it, the end results are going to be that which is a blessing that comes from him. So tonight we come to this time again, that we as a body of believers have come to take communion, to obey you, and to honor our Savior as we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, I'd like to say everyone here as an individual, wherever you at, ask God to forgive you as an individual, as a parent, as a child, as a wife, as a husband, as a just a member of the body of Christ, so that we might know we can be as clean here now as we were the day we got saved, simply because of the mercy and the grace of God.